What's up, Chicago? That's right. It is Friday, February the, what is it, the 3rd or the 2nd?
February 3rd.
February the 3rd. Thank you. February 3rd, 2017. And Taking a Limit Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, I'm excited. We have a great, great show for you today. It is Praise Break Friday. Y'all ready? It's Praise Break Friday, and I'm excited. In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, alongside my brother in ministry from the First Bethel Church on the south side of Chicago, Pastor Cornelius Parks. How are you, sir?
Hey. What's going on?
Really?
That's what you got?
Oh, my God. Look, y'all, it's a good show. It is Praise Break Friday. Look, here's the topic. This is going to be real good. Four ways to really prepare for worship. Four ways. Yeah, man. This is going to be good. Four ways to really prepare for worship. That's going to be the topic of conversation a little bit later on. We got that and, man, so much more to discuss on today. But we're excited. But let me give you all the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already called in, you're already listening on the line via your mobile device, simply push 1. That'll get you to our producer, and our producer will then get you to us. So you can make your comments about what's going on. Also, if you want to call into the show, real simple to do. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way. Social media, we are there as well. If you want to follow us on social media, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to read that tweet on the air as well. If you want to email the show, you can email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that email address is takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read that email live on the air. The live streams. Thank you. I'm going to get it together. The live streams are up and running. I'm excited. Man, I just saw somebody say Jamaica in the house. Good God. I love it. I love when we're being watched in Jamaica.
Welcome on.
I just got it. Oh, Lord.
Now he
barely speak English. Now he's trying to
come on
with some Jamaican. Help us, Lord. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off right there. Ustream.tv. We appreciate y'all so much. Thank you. Facebook Live. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Do me a favor. When you come into the room, speak to the people in the room first.
Come on. Holler at your boy.
And then speak to us.
Holler at us.
Act like you've been to church before. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I've been here before. And I know how to act.
Come on.
So yep, y'all come on in the room and touch some and share that and hit the share button and do all that good stuff for us. We appreciate you so much. And last but not least, if you have iTunes, go to your iTunes account, go to the podcast section of your account, do a search for Taking the Limits Off. You will find us right there. My God, let me go through the rundown. Y'all just done popped in the room quick, real quick.
Man, I'm doing something different.
What you doing? You just inviting people.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Go ahead. This is so good. Joan Morris. God bless you all the way from Jamaica, man. Edmond Arimon.
The Gundam, man.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Really? You just going to throw that out?
Yeah, man.
Everybody from Jamaica don't smoke ganja.
I'm just saying. That's what they say is there. I don't know, man.
Jody Beatty, what's up, my brothers? Jody says, God bless you, sir.
Time I went to Jamaica, I was a saint then.
Angela Clarkson, God bless you from Louisiana. God bless
Woo!
You. Deanne Lewis, God bless you.
Woo! California.
Dana Miller, God bless you. Yolanda King, God bless you. Let's see here. Leslie Kelly, God bless you. Y'all just come on in the room. Bless y'all.
Yeah, I'm trying this new way. I'm going to get off the phone in a minute, y'all. But I'm trying to invite everybody, somebody, because we got something to set today, y'all.
So we might as well go on and get right on into this. I have to go ahead and get to this. So, you know, we had a great show on Wednesday, man. Wednesday's show was good, outside of the technical difficulties. Wednesday's show was amazing.
It really was.
But so much has happened since Wednesday's show.
Yes.
So let me give you all a quick recap. On Wednesday,
uh-huh,
on my way into the studio, before I, as I was getting ready to get prepared to come to the studio, I was watching just watching the news, just getting my updates, because I always try to get a little information for you. I know we are a Christian radio show, but we also like to share what's going on in the world, whether it be politically
current
or entertainment, current affairs, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's this pastor, Pastor Darrell, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but it's Darrell or Darrell Scott.
That's his name.
In Ohio.
Uh-huh, that's where you stay.
And he is actually in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And he is on, he was a part of Trump's transition team.
Say it again.
From him being president, he was a part of the Trump's team when he was running for office.
Uh-huh.
He was a part of the presidential elect transition team,
uh-huh.
and now he's another part of Trump's team, and he was there for a meeting that Trump was having with quote-unquote black leaders.
Talk about it.
So as these people went around the table, I just want to paint the picture. You can go online and, you can go online and find this. You know, you can.
But paint it.
There were everybody went around, introduced themselves, and when they got to him,
talk about
he made this comment. He said,
"Say it again, man."
I got amen corner over
yes,
here.
Yes, sir.
He says, "Mr. Trump, I just want you to know, President Trump, that I was contacted." These are his words. That I was contacted by the top gang thugs.
People, that's what he said.
In Chicago.
That's what he said.
These were his words. I was, and they want to have a sit down with me because of my relationship with you.
Talk about it.
President Trump. And we want to work on getting the body count down in Chicago.
Talk about it, man.
Trump went on to say, "That's great and all, but if they don't fix it, I will." This is this is quoting President Trump. He says, "Yes." He says, "But they want to come work with this administration," and he said they reached out to me.
Yeah.
I didn't call them; they called me.
Yeah, like they know him.
These were his words.
Uh huh. Because I got a lot to say too.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna let you have it. You go. You go for it. So then he says, "So of course this launched a firestorm, and maybe we were the first ones to talk about it. I believe we were because it was only an hour old by the time by the time I got here, and we talked about it." And this brother says, now all of a sudden it launched a firestorm. It was on every news channel. Preachers in Chicago got heated. Community leaders in Chicago got heated. Hell, the gangbangers got heated.
Yes, sir.
And now all of a sudden he says, "No, this is what really happened." He says on an interview with a local Chicago reporter, he says, this is what he says. He says, "I don't want to make this more than what it was." He says, "But what happened was these were former gang thugs."
Yeah, one.
And then he changed it again. Then, well, it was just one.
Yeah.
Who reached out.
Yeah.
We got something to say.
So now he's taking back what he said because we're finding out. And as our good friend who will be on the show Monday, Apostle David Rogers said to me, he said he just out and out lied.
Yeah.
So it's not about lowering the body count. This is the story. Now, this is what happens when you tell a lie. Here's the new way of getting out the lie.
Yeah.
He says a lack of sleep caused him to tell President Trump that Chicago gangs had offered to lower the body count. He says he actually spoke to one former gang member.
Juan, y'all.
And not to any gang leader.
Juan, y'all.
That's what he said now. Now, as I stated on Wednesday, I went and did some research. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And in Cleveland, Cleveland in the year 2016 had the highest murder rate in the history of Cleveland in almost 15 years.
Talk.
But yet you's claiming to have gotten a call from a gang leader. Now it's just one. Now it ain't even the gang leader. It's just a gang member.
Yes, sir.
And I want to go a step further. And I'm going to please, I want you to jump in.
Man, go ahead, my brother.
Then some more people came on, and they after he got jumped on and beat up a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Then a not friend of the show.
Uh-huh.
Because he blocked me on Facebook. A not friend of the show, Pastor Corey Brooks. Got on TV and said,
yeah, he did.
"We will support Pastor Scott."
He sure did.
"Coming to Chicago.
He
we
sure did.
Will support any help we can get from Pastor Scott.
He sure did.
Coming to Chicago.
He sure did, y'all.
Pastor Parks.
See, all right, let me go back to the origin of everything.
Come on.
The problem I'm having with Darrell Scott, I did research, y'all.
Uh-huh.
See, now, the reason why I was offended,
come on,
because I'm an ex-gang leader,
uh-huh,
ex-gang drug seller,
uh-huh,
pusher,
uh-huh,
if you will.
Uh-huh.
This man said that he was a chauffeur,
uh-huh,
at the age of 16,
mm,
for the top gang drug dealers in the city of Cleveland, Ohio.
Darrell Scott.
Now, watch this, people of God. Now, everybody got caught. Everybody went to jail.
Except him. Uh-huh.
Something wrong with that picture, y'all. This man don't have a rap sheet. He never been locked up. He don't know how it feel to have the steel handcuffs on him. Metal, steel, however you want to put it. He don't have no mark shot. He have nothing to prove that he was that man he said he was.
Mm-hmm.
This man come from nowhere. He really wasn't in the mix of Republicans ever.
No.
He really wasn't even in the beginning of supporting President Donald Trump in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So this man popped up from nowhere,
uh-huh,
just like the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He pops up from nowhere. Now, the problem I'm having is when he went on national TV,
mm-hmm,
he was too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I lie, don't care who tell it. A lie. Don't care who tell it.
That's good.
I'm going to say that one more time.
That's good.
Some of y'all can use that on the way home. A lie. Don't care who tell it. The man sat there and he wasn't looking delirious. He wasn't looking like he was tired. He wasn't looking like he was half asleep. But the man was sitting there in his chair, leaning with and rock with him.
Uh-huh.
He had an opportunity.
Uh-huh.
To say his little, yeah, Easter speech.
Uh-huh.
He came out and said, well, I talked to the gay thugs.
The top gay thugs, uh-huh,
in the city of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Well, truth of the matter, if he talked to the top gay thugs, mm-hmm, in the city of Chicago,
mm-hmm,
I got a lot of family members
that are
top gang leaders,
uh-huh,
in the city of Chicago,
uh-huh,
that never got contacted. We all know. Now, let me say this. We all know that the structuring of gangs in the city of Chicago is not what it used to be.
Okay.
All of the top leaders that have held down the fort from Black Peace Zone, from Gangsta Disciples, from Vice Lords, from Four Corner Hustle, all these guys are locked up or either dead.
Okay.
Even the ones that's out today, they have no voice, mm-hmm, as in trying to run the street.
Right.
Because these young boys is considered renegades on the street now.
Mm-hmm.
They coming with their own gangs that, honest to God, I don't even know the name of their gangs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it used to be. So now he's saying, after he came back and knew that he put his foot in his mouth,
mm-hmm,
he came back and said, well, I talked to some older gang leaders, chiefs,
uh-huh,
in the city of Chicago,
uh-huh,
then came right back and narrowed that down to only one.
Uh-huh.
Now, the problem I'm having was whoever agreed with him in the beginning,
uh-huh,
they made you look like a bigger fool because you was his echo,
uh-huh,
while he made up a lie.
Uh-huh.
Now, the problem, I want to say this to all of us, because some of us take this life serious, because some of us really was in the trenches, in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that a lot of this can change if those who've been in, who created some of the madness in the street,
mm-hmm,
can come back and really help those who have a voice,
mm-hmm,
to figure out a plan to make a matters different. Now, understand, we would not get rid of totality as a whole in the city of Chicago, but we can narrow something. We can stop some of the bleeding that's taking place in the city of Chicago. Now, this man, and my brother already said, and I got to echo this.
Come on.
This man is from Cleveland, Ohio,
Cleveland,
where there was over 180-something murders,
yes,
which was unheard of. I know y'all looking like that's not a lot.
Right.
But truth to the matter, it is equivalent,
yeah,
to the murders that's taking place in the city of Chicago because of population.
Okay.
And so if you do your percentage-wise,
mm-hmm,
percentage, they got more murders than we did in the city of Chicago,
mm-hmm,
because we got more people that's, mm-hmm, in the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, How in the hell is Corey Brooks, which I looked up to him, going to go on national TV talking about, because he got the voice and he got the ear of the president, we're going to support him. Now, he made you look like a fool, because after he made this declaration, you stood on national television saying that you in agreement with him, and he had to come back and retract his statement twice, not just once, but twice. Sometimes we got to make sure we do background and make sure we know what we're talking about before we get in front of the camera. Now, my problem is, here he wants to partner, Corey Brooks wants to partner with Cleveland, but how many pastors are partnering with each other right here in Chicago that have the voice to make a difference? Here, I could call out some names that if they come together in the city of Chicago, things will change from the west side, south side. Come on, Pastor Acri. Come on, Sidefield. Come on, Clarence Storrs. Come on, Bill Winston. Come on. I'm just naming Marshall Hatch. I'm just naming those on the west side. Come on, Bishop Edie. Come on. Come on, Pastor Johnny Miller. Right. Come on. Now, that's just the west side that got influence in this city. Now, let's move to the south side. All right, Corey, this was your opportunity to jump on board with Father Flager. This was your opportunity to jump on board with Chris Harris, Matthew Stevens, John Hanna. Come on, William Hudson. Come on. I could go and name so many people that if they begin to come together, come on. I didn't forget about your fellowship. Come on. I didn't forget about you. This mean war. Amen. If these men of God would come together and take a stand, I know why they have not came together. Because when you look at a lot of these pastors, and this is no disrespect to none of them, half of them don't know anything about street smart. And so you're trying to operate a plan or something that you never partook in. That's just like a somebody off the street trying to go in the pulpit, trying to preach a sermon, but don't understand what the word is.
Ain't got no reason.
And so here, I want the notable pastors in the city of Chicago to connect with some veterans of the sea in the streets of in the violence, and let's try to develop a plan. We got enough power right here in the city of Chicago to make it happen. Watch this. Oh, I've seen so many people. Roosevelt Watkins, God bless you. I love that brother. He did a live Facebook thing last night and told him, don't come to Chicago. Don't come. Go ahead.
All right. So we get, you know, we're getting comments over here, and I don't want to be disrespectful of the comments.
Yeah.
Let me go back here. Let me see. Joan Morris, that's once again, Jamaica, God bless you, says y'all killing me. Yolanda says, alternative facts is the new version of telling the bold-faced lie. Harold Washington says, tell the truth, bro. Willie Park says, son, say that in order to be a big part of an organization, we'll have some kind of ties with the law being a part of that, of what he says are lies. Your daddy was a part of the Black Peace Stone Nation.
He let his business
this
out
man
there.
Is a liar, and I've never heard him tell he said something to call your daddy. Daniel Garrett, you know who that is?
That's my brother.
Daniel Garrett says, Corey partnered with me.
Okay.
Preachers have to stop fighting preachers, bro. Corey has offered his hand in partnership.
Okay, listen.
I'm going to let you handle that.
I'm going to say this, and I'm not fighting Corey Brooks.
And it's not about fighting Corey Brooks.
I'm just giving what it is, what I saw.
Unfortunately,
he may have partnered with you, bro, Pastor Daniel Garrett, on the south side, Inglewood of Chicago. Great pastor, great leader, my good friend. However, truth be told, there are some big wigs that's in the city of Chicago that have not came and sat at the table together because they cannot come to agreement on who's going to be the face and who's going to be the vocal person.
Yep.
I understand where you're coming from that he does help, but it still don't make us look good when we have our notable people that we put in front of us to partner with people that don't give a care about us. And I'm just being real. I have nothing personal against no preacher, and I don't have a record of fighting no preacher, but some things I take to heart. And one thing I really do take to heart is the streets, because that's where I come from. I come from the streets. I'm not the average church boy. I was a five-star Universal TVL, and I'm not afraid, ashamed to tell the world that. And I got some friends that still honor and love me because of the shift and change I made in my life. But in the same token, we still got to stand for something, because we'll fall for anything. And if my brother closing his door to meet with certain other people. Now, he may have met with you, bro, and I'm not knocking that, but that's other people that needs to come to the table, and we can strategic think about make a plan to make this stuff happen. He said that he want we need outsiders to come into Chicago and help us out. But my problem is this: how can we afford to let outsiders to come in when those that's in the city of Chicago have not come together? That's all I'm saying. I'm not knocking him by no means whatsoever. This is my personal opinion and my feelings toward the matter. Listen, a lot of guys are good behind the pulpit. A lot of guys are good in their vein, but there's not a lot of guys that's good in the street to develop a plan. I'm just keeping it 100. And a lot of times we be silent because of friendship. And you know, it's not that I'm putting that brother on blast, but if it's on television, if it's seen on television, and people might look at me and say, man, Parks, you dog. I'm not dogging nobody, nobody whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I just seen it. And I disagreed to it. This is a radio talk show that is very controversial at times, but in the same token, I said this, and I will say this until I turn blue in the face. You cannot tell somebody else to come in your camp when you have not set at the table with those that's in your on your team. And that's one of my biggest problems with it.
I'm gonna say this. My issue is this, and I saw people all over when I originally before this even went national, I was watching it when it happened live. I instantly took my phone and recorded the clip of Pastor Scott making his comments, and I posted it on Facebook, and instantly people started going like, wait a minute, who is this guy? Here is the issue, and I'll use what Father Flager said. If he actually did speak, first of all, my problem is you are willing to partner with someone who did not misspeak. Let's be clear about this.
Exactly.
He did not misspeak. He was not tired because you could watch it and see the energy in his face on how excited he was to be on TV talking and sitting with the president.
Exactly.
Mind you, this ain't the first time he's been with the president, so he's comfortable. So it wasn't that he was overexcited.
Exactly.
It wasn't that he was nervous, because he's been seen in a press conference at Trump Tower standing right next to Donald Trump.
Exactly.
When they said, we laid our hands on him, when Donald Trump said he had 100 black pastors came out who all supported him, and when the truth came out, we found out it was like 10, not 100.
Exactly.
He was the one standing right next to Trump, next to Omarosa, and they sat there, and he made this, we laid our hands on him, and I looked him in his face, and I saw the face of God in his eyes, and I recognized this and that. I have a problem as a pastor, or a preacher, rather, your spirit of discernment not to know that this is strictly a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump, this is my issue, if Donald Trump, prior to being president, and this is my problem with any politician, you always say, well, I have the best plan.
Yeah.
I have the best plan. Yeah. Donald Trump said this a month leading up to the election. I can fix Chicago just like that.
Yeah. That's what he said.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
Just like that, I can fix Chicago. That in itself was a bald-faced lie.
Yeah.
Then he turned around and said to the people of Chicago, why not vote for me?
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
What you had ain't working. Why not vote for me? Those were his words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're signing all these executive orders.
Yeah.
Every day he signed a new executive order. Shut this down. Start this. Shut this down. Start that. Now all of a sudden he's got these people sitting around the table. None of them have a connection to Chicago. Nor have they reached out. Now, if Corey Brooks is going to be the – let me say this. If Pastor Corey Brooks is going to be the liaison to get Daryl Scott here and then bring him to the table with everyone else, I ain't got no beef. But if, like my brother said, if you're not even at the table with everybody else, then how are you going to get – because here's the deal. They named – I was watching this morning because this is what I do. There is a bill right now in Cook County that they put to the side where the Cook County was going to ask for federal assistance to come into Cook County. They had a vote on it on January 18th,
mm-hmm.
and then they decided to put it in committee, and they put it to the side.
And Commissioner Boykin said that the Austin District, District 15, the West Garfield, District 11, and Inglewood, those are the three highest murder rates, and those are the ones that are causing the most problems in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Boykin says, well, we need the federal aid.
Yeah.
And I love Commissioner Pretwell because she said this. She said, what price does it come with?
Exactly.
Because if we allow Donald Trump to then say, well, okay, I'm going to send you this money, Trump's whole thing is put the money in the police.
Yeah.
Let the police do what they do. Don't worry about the body cameras. Don't worry about the this and that. If they need to bust some heads, bust heads. Y'all already saw what he said about waterboarding.
Yeah.
If we need to waterboard somebody and have damn near drown them, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So if he feels that way about the Army, how do you think he's going to feel about police in the inner city?
Yeah.
So don't come sending me nobody who don't know nothing about the inner city.
Yeah.
Has no influence whatsoever. You're not even influential where you come from.
That's right.
See, when
Dr. King,
can I go back?
There
this is Black History Month.
There you go.
When Dr. King came to Chicago, when he came to Memphis from where he was, when he went traveling all around the country, he had already started doing stuff in his hometown.
Man, you only...
He was known in his hometown for the work that he had done.
Yeah.
He didn't just show up in Chicago and say, hey, I hear y'all got a garbage strike. If you, even if you saw, that's why I love the movie. Oh, my God, I can't think of the name of the movie. That had just came out a couple years ago, but it showed Dr. King and how when he first came to a town, you know, the activists that were already here didn't like him.
Uh-huh.
They didn't want to say, well, we don't want y'all. We want to be the leaders. That showed the infighting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to be the leaders. Bruh, you have not taken the time to sit with anybody. You say you come in here in 2 weeks. You say you come in here in 2 weeks. That's what he said.
Uh-huh.
That's what the new tweets are. He's coming here in 2 weeks. Okay, you come in here in 2 weeks. Where is this meeting going to be? Because I want it to be notified, and I want to know who's at the table. Because if you, because watch this, my brother Jody, my brother Jody Beatty, Jody Beatty. If George Jody Beatty ain't at the table,
that's right.
It ain't no meat.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Right. The work that he's doing.
The work that he's already doing on the street in the Austin
community. With no funding.
With no funding.
Yeah.
And watch this.
Yeah.
Austin and West Garfield.
Yeah. Yeah. And have come to the South.
Exactly.
Side.
If he ain't invited to the table.
That's right.
Your meeting ain't.
See, the problem, and this is the problem I'm having.
Huh?
We so caught up in friendship.
Yeah.
It's okay to talk about certain people.
Yeah.
But when certain people are close to us or they are friends, they become exempt.
Yeah.
Truth of the matter, and I'm not trying to expose anyone.
Yeah.
But there's a crisis, and there's a need of help in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I believe, and I hope that this is a true word that I'm about to speak. I believe because of the enemy trying to come and creep in us, it shook up. The leaders in the city of Chicago that now lead us to no other choice but to come together.
Yeah.
Because truth of the matter, we got some great people of God, great leaders in the city of Chicago that can come together.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest problem has been we've been disunified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been for many years. We have all these great leaders. And truth of the matter, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say this to all of you. The enemy know how to play us against each other.
Absolutely.
He know how to do that. And that's his way of speaking through Dura Scott.
Yeah.
To echo a voice of his. That wasn't no voice of God. And every time somebody open up their mouth and speak on social media or on a certain platform, don't think that the Lord opened up the opportunity for them to do that.
Come on.
Because Satan know how to open up doors as well.
Come on.
And he know how to build a team as well.
Come on.
Because if that was a voice of God, number one, we would have felt his heart.
Yeah.
If that was a voice of God, he would never have to come back to retract the words that he had mentioned out of his mouth.
If he really had talked to any, we now know that he lied. So the argument is already dead.
Yeah.
Or the debate rather, because he lied. He misspoke mess. We already know that he lied to the president and to the country. He lied to the president and to the country.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting here with this because he would have reached out long before.
Yeah.
We would have heard about Dale Scott before 2016 closed out. We would have heard about Daryl Scott reaching out to some folk in Chicago.
Yeah.
But nobody heard of you. The first we heard of you was when you was one of them idiots standing up next to Trump
in the first place.
Yeah.
And just to clarify some stuff, I had somebody, I wasn't going to say nothing, but I am. Y'all pray for me. Somebody mentioned this on my page the other day that my issue is because Daryl Scott supports Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't got nothing to do with you supporting Trump. My issue is the fact that you're lying.
Yeah.
And even if you had been telling the truth, who did you speak to? As Father Flager said, which one of the new 650 gang leaders did you talk to?
Exactly. Exactly.
Out of the 650, exactly. Which one called you?
Exactly.
How they get your number?
Exactly.
What made them call your church?
And then this is my thing, too.
Man,
out of respect, if they would have called him, don't you think that he would have connected with pastors in the city of Chicago,
exactly,
before he even went open air with that matter?
Exactly.
I mentioned this Wednesday, and I want to say it again. If a police officer is going to another city to work on a case,
he got to call ahead.
Before they go anywhere, go straight to that headquarters notify them that they are in town to work on a case.
Yeah.
They're not going to invade nobody's space. They're not going to disrespect anyone.
And you can't, because guess what? You're out of your jurisdiction.
Man.
Now, ain't nobody saying as a preacher, no, you don't have a jurisdiction. But when you're going into an area that you don't know anything about, because I promise you this, and we said this, Daryl Scott, just show up here in Chicago if you want to without calling. Just show up, where are you going to go to? What meeting are you going to go to? Are you coming to the community meeting next Tuesday here at the 15th District? I'll look for you. I'm going to look for you if you're there. Because, see, that's where the community leaders and the preachers of the Austin District, that's where they show up. Are you going to the Leaders Network meeting? I believe that's Tuesday as well. That's where the rest of the pastors in Austin and West Garfield and East Garfield show up to that are out trying to actively do something in the street. Now, have you contacted any of those?
My point.
In the Leaders Network.
So
you haven't contacted anybody in the Leaders Network. You haven't contacted anybody in the Stop the Violence crew. You haven't contacted anybody in 100 blocks, 100 churches. So who have you contacted?
Can I go deeper?
Come on.
Did you contact Reverend Jesse Jackson? And I'm just throwing it out there.
We still got an open invite to Reverend Jackson, too. He won't come.
Go ahead. But I'm just saying, listen.
He probably will.
He's a face, and no matter how people have their personal feelings about him, he has much influence in the clergy.
He still has a voice in the clergy. Yeah.
So here, you're missing, and that's my thing, too. The problem, and the reason why I'm being vocal, and I want to say this, because when I get caught up in something, I don't have nobody to support me.
Mm.
I don't have nobody to cover me.
Mm.
You know, I have guys. I'll never forget. I had a meeting at the church, and guys was texting each other about me
at your meeting
and my meeting.
Oh Lord,
at the church, at my church.
Oh Lord.
But now people want me to be quiet. What's the difference with me doing it privately and me doing it openly? A coward.
Wow.
A coward is one who do it privately. A man is the one who do it openly. If you don't like something, you can speak upon it. It don't mean I don't like a person. It don't mean I don't love him. It's a simple fact. I don't like what you did because it's a bunch of betrayal. And what happens, because of most people negligence, others look down on us as a whole. They generalize us.
Yeah.
And if we are quiet about matters, they make it seem like we are in agreement.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff I'm not in agreement.
And you can't.
Whether people like me or not,
right.
I don't care.
Because
at the end of the day, I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God.
Yeah.
And I didn't come off the street to get it and be called to this life of suffering, just to sit back and fall for anything.
Yeah.
I got a voice too.
Yeah.
I might not have thousands of members to talk to. I might not have hundreds of members, but them members listen to my voice and they know that they need to have some men and women of God that care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the end of the day, what we gonna do?
Mm.
Where do we go from here? It's out there. We people want answers.
It goes back to a larger issue that you and I have talked about. Daryl Scott couldn't get on. One thing I believe Daryl Scott does know is that we as churches in Chicago are not unified. Because if we were unified as a church in Chicago, if we were unified as churches and as preachers and as pastors in Chicago, that would be publicly known.
But because when you're watching this from the outside looking in, you see this preacher over here. You see this one over here. You don't see a great multitude of pastors standing in the very areas where the violence is taking place. You see us in front of the police department. You see, you see us in front of the police department because of police misconduct. Okay, fine. Police misconduct and what's going on in the street are two different things. People see that and they see that there is no unity here. And because they see that, so then if I'm on the outside looking in, well, let me go throw my two cents in here. If we were unified, he wouldn't dare open his mouth. But because he recognizes, well, Chicago, obviously, all the, and watch this, he knows how many powerful preachers and pastors are here.
We have the most powerful preachers and pastors in the nation.
He knows this. But he also recognizes it from a public perspective that we're not unified.
But
so because he sees that, he can make the comment, I'm coming to Chicago to help Chicago.
Now, I'm going
to
say this in defense of the men of God, preachers, women of God in Chicago.
Yes.
I believe he just woke up a sleeping giant.
I hope so.
And I hope so. I'm going to speak it in the atmosphere. I believe that some men that pastors that's on the front line of the battle couldn't rest easy by listening to what that man said. And I believe, and I'm going to say this because I have confidence in a lot of these men of God in the city of Chicago. I really do because I know, I've seen their work. I know what they can do. I believe that they're going to come and develop a plan. Now, because now, now he didn't put, see, people were thinking that he put in the street on blast. Listen.
No, that ain't what he did.
You can't crack jokes about me and tell me I'm fat.
Right.
I know I'm fat. So you cannot go out talking about the city of Chicago is bad. The world knows it's bad. So what took place now, you as a man of God, as a preacher, you was really putting other churches and preachers on blast. Said, I need to come in. And if you, you got to look at this thing. That was an indirect statement. Because keep in mind, that a group of clergymen met on the south side at Tristone to come together to bring Trump to Chicago so they can hear, he can hear their voice. Now, I understand what Corey Brooks was saying about we need to work with him because he got the voice.
The ear of the president.
The ear of the president.
Right.
But that was before he came back and took his statements.
Right.
And so, and it's not knocking Corey Brooks because if he do got the ear, he got the ear. Bring him. But one thing I do know is going to be hard for Scott to come to Chicago. I've seen pastors that gave their – I've seen pastors last night on Facebook Live gave their appeal. And every last one of them said, don't come to Chicago. I've seen Father Flager did his interview. I don't know him.
I mean, I've seen this.
And now I'm praying to God, and we need the body of Christ. We need the people of God to pray that we all can come together. And listen, I don't really have to be at the table. I just want to hit the plan, and I'm ready to work. We got a lot of people to come with vision. The problem we having is those to execute the vision. Here. These men of God can come together, and they so awesome when they're behind the pulpit. They can come with a fabulous story preaching, whether it's expository, whether it's storytelling. But I believe they can come with a plan, but it's going to take people that come from their walk of life to execute the plan. That's what it's going to take, and I'm being honest with you. And I believe, and I'm going to say this again and echo this, that that man have woke up a sleeping giant. Because we have some giants in the city of Chicago. And I know that people say, well, why haven't they done nothing thus far? Put the past in the past, and let's see what we're going to do now. Now it's time that we apply pressure to pressure because, number one, the church have been hidden. The church has seemed like it's been vacated for a long time. And I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm not talking about individual churches. And I do know some people try to come up with a plan on their own, but this matter, what's taking place, it takes a collective body of people to come together with great leadership. And I'm going to be honest with you. We need to pray, but don't come out there talking about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's Greek to some people. We got to come to with a plan, life skills. We got to come to the plan, career development. We got to come with a plan that will give them a one-stop shop because after we get through talking to these people, the next question is, what do you have for me?
Exactly. I'm going to read some of these comments. Keep it going here.
let's see here. Ms. Tasha Gates talk about it. Joan Morris, you're so right. Anitra Howard says, Regina Houston says, disunified, I agree, Pastor Parks. We have to come together. There are no big I's and little U's. We have to tackle the problem as a whole. Where there is unity, there is strength. Anitra Howard says this, there may not be a jurisdiction, but God is a God of order and wisdom, and the spirit of his movement doesn't bring about discord. She says, I don't have a heaven or hell to put Dale Scott in, but God is going to hold him accountable for his actions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joan Morris says, Trump can't fix it. You guys have to do it together. I completely agree. It is about coming to the table, and I pray you are absolutely right that this does light a fire under the leadership here in Chicago,
yeah.
The spiritual leadership,
yeah.
And even with the community organizers,
yeah.
In Chicago, because even some of them are not on the same page.
Oh, I forgot the man's name. He's an activist,
mm-hmm.
And he's not a pastor.
Okay.
And somebody, the reporter asked him a question about the church,
mm-hmm.
And pastors,
mm-hmm.
And he just dismissed it.
Wow.
He dismissed it. And I don't know if he's hurt because of the lack of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't say this. What was his problem of saying that?
Mm-hmm.
But, man, my appeal, and maybe we all should appeal to this because, you know, let truth be told, those who got the membership,
mm-hmm.
are the most notable ones.
Yeah.
They got the voice.
Yeah.
They got the voice over their pulpit. That's the biggest voice that we all can have is over our pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only have 25 versus 500, mm-hmm. that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And so there has to be a time that we can put bygones aside,
mm-hmm.
our personal feelings,
mm-hmm.
aside.
And watch this. When you bring these people to the table, you need a mix of people.
You do.
It can't just be the people with all the members.
You do.
Because 9 times out of 10, you all have been the only one at the table anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
So you need some people at the table with some fresh ideas because you've been at the table this whole time and little to no, you know, there's been little to no impact. Maybe it's time you start bringing some other people to the table who might not be like-minded thinking like you are, who can think outside of the box of the norm.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with holding a prayer vigil on the corner. But then after that, like you said, then what's the plan after the prayer?
Yeah.
What happened? Where is the work after the faith? The Bible says faith without works is dead. So where is the work after you get done praying, after you get done fasting? Where is the work? Where is the plan and how do you implement it? If you have the same people,
mm-hmm.
coming to the table all the time,
uh-huh.
and the same people making the decisions on where we're going to focus our efforts,
uh-huh.
and if the people don't feel like they have a voice,
uh-huh.
then they're not going to come to the table.
That's right.
So you have to let I don't care if they got 5,000 members or they 50 in the storefront.
That's right.
It does not matter. They need, because watch this, that person in the storefront, even though he or she may only have 50 members, maybe they have a marketing degree.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a sociology degree.
That's good.
Maybe they are a community organizer. Maybe they were in community organizing before they became a pastor.
That's good.
But you don't have those people around you to help you. So maybe you need to start looking outside the box and start getting some different people at the table. Then you don't have these different issues going around. Let me read another one of these comments.
Okay.
Joan says, I'm from Jamaica, but I can feel the spirit feed back to you guys. I have what you guys have, what it takes, and I can feel it in you. Amen. Bless you, John.
This was
– and then we're going to move on. Go
we
ahead.
Don't just need Baptists.
No.
We don't just need Christians.
No.
We need Jews.
Yeah.
We need Muslims.
Yeah.
Buddhism.
Yeah.
Jehovah's
Witness.
Yeah. This is the time that I believe the Lord is calling every fraction,
mm-hmm.
to come together under the name of God. And I'm being honest with you. Every religion got one thing in common. They all believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is we all trying to present our case to everybody. Sometimes that's not the time to present your case.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to present that you care about a person. Sometimes you got to present that you love, you got mad love for a person. Right now, each fraction in the religious sector have certain resources,
mm-hmm.
that they can provide.
Mm-hmm.
they have certain doors that's open that they can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be right now,
mm-hmm.
one band, one sound. I remember when the Vice Lords, GDs,
mm-hmm.
had a peace treaty.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Rodney King
mm-hmm.
got killed, got
beat up. Mm-hmm.
The Crips and the Blood
yep.
had a peace treaty.
Yep.
This is the time that religion must have a peace treaty.
Yeah.
That come together, be one band, one sound,
yeah.
and figure out a plan. How can we come together to stop the bleeding?
Yeah.
That, listen, it's not, you're not going to stop it completely.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of our problem.
Mm-hmm.
We want to put certain, we want to surgically repair a matter, but sometimes you got to put some good gauze on it. That even though it's bleeding, but it's not as noticeable
uh-huh.
as it just gushing out without the gauze on there. That's matters, and this violence have been taking place in the city of Chicago since the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and that's just truth be told. Now it just seems to be so reckless because it's involved through social media.
Mm-hmm.
However, we need to come together under one umbrella and develop that plan.
Because mm-hmm.
guess what? Jews need us. We need them.
Absolutely.
Bottom line, we all need each other. We all need each other.
I remember the last time I was down with the ministers, we were all down at police headquarters over on 35th and Michigan. And we were out there. And there were ministers, there were pastors, bishops, priests from the Catholic Church. There were some Muslims from the temple. We were all out there because of the whole Chicago, the violence issue with the police
uh-huh.
And the police brutality and stuff. We need that same. And I know this for a fact. People are willing to come together. You just have to be willing to invite them. And you have to be willing to set the table for them to
yeah.
come. You just can't keep calling your boy because
yeah.
you know your boy going to support you. You have to be able to go to, watch this. There are Catholic churches in the Austin community. Do we go to them? Now, I know for a fact we do because I know Father Tom right over here on Laramie. I can't think of the name of the church right here on Laramie in Washington. But he comes to every community meeting. He is always there. And he's a Catholic priest. Then we have Catholic priests from right here in Oak Park who come to me. People, I had someone from Oak Park email the STV Facebook page because I'd help manage that with Jody. Email saying, hi, we're from such and such church. So we want to help. Tell us when we can help. How can we help?
Exactly. I'm sure you're something.
See what I'm saying? So there are people who want to come to the table. They just don't know where to go.
I met a guy from Eastern Europe. He's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was letting him know where my church was at.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, man, I did an intern. Now, watch this. This is an urban community.
Yeah.
He's from Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I did an intern right off 87th and Cottage.
Wow.
Now, here, he's from Eastern Europe,
mm-hmm.
and this is a 100%
yeah.
African-American
it is.
Community.
At least 95, yeah.
At 98.
Okay.
I'm being real.
Right.
And he have no problem in being in that community
mm-hmm.
because he see a need.
Yeah.
He saw a need.
Yeah.
And he want everybody that's in this walk of life is not in it for personal gain.
Absolutely.
There's some people that's in it because they have the heart and the passion to get the job done.
Yeah.
And you know, you said it. I hope this is true. I'm going to speak it that you're going to see a shift,
mm-hmm.
not in the streets, but a shift with the churches that we're going to bring fellowship back.
Mm-hmm.
That these men of God, they got personal vendettas with one another.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff got to be squashed.
And watch this. It might not even be a personal vendetta. I just don't know you.
Oh yeah, I don't know your jealousy.
Yeah, and we have to move beyond that. So
yep.
Look, y'all, we really want to talk about that. I'm glad we got that out. Let me read one more of these comments. Harold D. Washington says, "That's true. We need people from the street who are leaders, as well as still connected to the streets and the church." Willie Park says, "Nation of God is blessed in Jesus' name." Yolanda King says, "To me, the big question is why are these kids even joining the gangs? We have to be proactive instead of reactive. Locking these kids
That's
up."
Good.
And dismissing them as bad seeds is not the answer. We got to love and guide our kids from the womb. I think that's where the resources come in.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
If you have resources, when these kids are 10, 11, and 12, right when the gangs approach them at the age 8, 9, and if they had a program to go to rather than hanging out on the street, then the gangs will never be able to get their hands on them.
There you go.
And if you have these programs in place, even those who are in the gangs would probably put the guns down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you gotta be able to have some programs to play. That's what the resources are.
Yeah. You know, you have all these. I'll give you a very good example. You have all these abandoned schools
mm-hmm.
that we closed
mm-hmm.
in mostly predominantly black and Hispanic neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
What's being done with those buildings? What's being done with those gyms in those buildings?
We gave the rats a new home.
Exactly. But you know how many, like I've never been in, have you ever been in Duke Ellington? The old Emmett School up
yeah.
down Central? You
mm-hmm.
ever been in there?
I've been in there.
Is it just one gym in there? Do they have several? Because a lot of public schools have several gyms.
I believe it's two.
Okay.
I know it's one for sure.
So these in themselves are places where you could do some sort of community plan.
Yeah.
The city owns the building.
Now the city want to sell the building.
Right.
And things.
But the city owns the
yeah.
building, which
yeah.
means
they don't pay taxes,
which means
right?
you and I, no, property owners in Chicago are paying taxes to help keep those buildings that are doing nothing open.
Just standing.
Stand there. So why not allow the gym rooms, the auditoriums
mm-hmm.
to be used
mm-hmm.
for the community?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You got this big old school right here, Emmett, big as day. Sitting here, former Emmett, because it's closed now, because Emmett merged with Duke Ellington, I believe, where
yeah.
they put all the people. So you got this big school down here with a gym room and an auditorium. You could easily open that up from 3 o'clock to, you know, whatever. You have people like Jody's crew who could come and manage. You have other community groups. You have churches who
homeless.
Have people. Homeless people. You could do all types of things. Now, yeah, it might not be able, and you could.
You could.
If you got a gym with showers,
you could.
You could open the door for homeless.
You could. Every school has showers.
You can lock off all the floors and keep the gym, because that's where the showers are in the gym room area. So you can lock down all the other floors and just have only open the areas for the showers and the gym. The kitchen.
Yeah.
Now you got full-fledged soup kitchens that you could open up with real kitchens already in there. Come on, man.
Yeah. See, I guess, and I don't want nobody to think
But you
got to
think outside the box.
Yeah, we don't have all the answers.
No, we don't.
There might be some.
We got all. We got some, though.
Right, exactly. It might be some stuff that's keeping that from being prevented to happen.
We need to talk to some aldermen then.
Yeah. I mean, but.
We need to talk to some aldermen.
Number one, it's a disgrace for your community.
Yeah.
When you have a huge building boarded up.
Yeah.
Just sitting there.
Nothing. Because guess what? The light's still on.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the heat's still on.
Yeah,
because they had to leave the heat on so the pipes didn't freeze.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
And in order for the boiler to come on, you need some electricity.
There you go.
So the lights are still on.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Wow.
Now it's possibly rat infested or something.
You never. I mean, we don't. But still, that could be fixed.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look, y'all, this is good, man. Look, I hope y'all. Look, I know we went a little bit off a little bit. I'm sorry. Y'all pray for us.
Please.
Willie Park says, why are they joining? Because they saw us in that. Yeah. That's what Willie says. They're joining because they saw us in it, meaning parents. John Moore says, unity is strength. Division is weakness. My God. That's good. Yolanda King says, the closing of schools in predominantly black and Hispanic neighborhoods is intentional. Well, in some cases, some might say that. Look, y'all, look, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation because it is good. It is going to be good. I'm excited about today's conversation. Y'all don't want to miss it. If you haven't already, please chime in. If you want to make a comment about something that was said already, you're already on the line, push 1. We'll let you be a part of the show. If you want to email the show, email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. In the meantime, it is Praise Break Friday. We're going to get y'all going. Going to have a little real quick praise break. Little bit of this here old school. Now, this ain't too old school, but look, Kirk Carr gonna tell you how to go get it. Pray. Gotta get it. Come on, y'all.
Get you some. Look at y'all. I'm excited.
Off y'all, he cut me off. I was getting ready to get started.
Yeah, I know that's what we had.
It took me a while to wind up.
We had to shut you down before you got too excited. You know,
I was getting excited.
I ain't got no ushers up here. I don't want you to fall out, and no ushers and no nurses. So you being, you know, I don't want you getting no trouble.
Oh my God!
Look, y'all, we got this really, really good article, man. I'm excited about it. It's really good, man. It really is. It's really simply entitled. Yeah, it's still playing. It's still playing in the background. It's still low. It's still playing. I know that's why you're over there.
I hear it, y'all. Told y'all when you're big, you got to start shouting sections. You got to take one side at a time. Oh.
Oh, God. We like to have fun, y'all. It's Praise Break Friday.
Yes, sir.
So good. So good. I love it. But we got this really great article, man, simply entitled Four Ways to Really Prepare for Worship. This is good. Both of us being, you know, my brother here, former worship leader, still a worship leader because he's a pastor. As a pastor, you are the chief worship leader.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I correct myself.
Yeah.
Because I was about to say former worship leader, but you, as pastor, you are the worship leader.
Yes, sir.
You set the tone for worship.
Yeah.
You set the tone, and people follow what they see. So if they see you as a worshiper, it becomes contagious. If they see you as dry and uninvolved and uncaring, then guess what? That's the type of worship your church gonna have.
Yeah,
that's what we got. So look, y'all, we're gonna jump right into this. This is good. Four ways to really prepare for worship. The writer is David Manner. This was just written January 22nd, so this is a fairly new article. This is what he says. Preparing for worship. He says, it is recorded that at the beginning of chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, that we should guard our steps as we go to the house of God and listen instead of offering a sacrifice of fools who don't even know that they are being foolish.
Wow.
He says, understanding the necessity of individually preparing for gathered worship is radically different than expecting our worship leaders to generate our worship for us when we get there. He says, we sing our songs as an act of worship, not to create it. He says, it's not enough to sing. Your praises will ever be on my lips on Sunday if I'm not living it on Monday. So if we aren't prepared on Sunday to respond to God's countless blessings that occurred all week, how could our worship leaders possibly lead enough songs to prepare us? Richard Foster wrote this: worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. It is kindled within us only when the Spirit of God touches our human spirit. Forms and rituals do not produce worship, my God.
Wow.
Nor does the disuse of forms and rituals. He says we can use all the right methods. We can have all the best possible liturgy. But we have not worshiped the Lord until his spirit touches our spirit.
Wow.
He says Norma DeWald Malfit and Howard Vandewell offer some suggestions to help us prepare for worship. Worship. So let's talk about it before we even get into it.
Man.
He said something real, real big. You can't do worship on Sunday if you wasn't already doing it the Monday before.
That's right. One of the problems, and this is a way for the recipient.
Yeah.
And the giver.
Yeah. Yeah.
The giver is the assigned worship leader.
Yeah.
What you project.
Yeah.
Monday through Saturday is what you give on Sunday.
Yeah.
If you're not in tune with God, and you know, holiness is a must.
Yes.
And a lot of times, I think in this season, we have taken out holiness in the church. And through our preparation and even our mindset of we have, and we talk about this often, that worship have become entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of projecting the glory of God. As a worship leader, you are an usher. Your job is to usher in the Spirit of God. Your job is to invite it in. People on the recipient end, you got to come. Already ready for worship. You're not like a car that needs to be cranked up, and when it's cold outside, you need to sit still until you warm up. You ought to come into the house of the Lord already warmed, charged, excited to be in the presence of God.
When you walk through the doors, your number one stance is not trying to look around and surface the atmosphere. Your number one stance is to connect mm-hmm. with the glory of God that's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, listen, your praise will ever be on my lips on Sunday, if not living it on Monday.
Yeah.
So if we aren't prepared on Sunday to respond to God's countless blessings
mm-hmm.
that occurred all week,
mm-hmm.
how could our worship leader possibly lead enough songs to prepare us? You on the recipient, God has done a lot for you
mm-hmm.
from a week's time.
Mm-hmm.
You give adoration. You
mm-hmm.
give thanks. You give honor.
Mm-hmm.
You give praise by coming into the house of God. That worship leader don't know all the many blessings that the Lord has shined on you.
Right.
He don't know about that accident that could have been you. He don't know about that check that came unexpectedly. He don't know about something that you've been trying to do for a long time, the loan you've been trying to get, and it's been blocked for so many years, but here come God opening the door for you. They don't know that. So
mm-hmm.
you got to come ready, geared to give God the glory for those things alone.
Yeah.
We don't give God, man, you got to give God glory, not just for the big stuff, but even for the necessities.
Exactly. Exactly. I think part of it is, and I like the fact that he's putting the onus on the recipient.
Yeah.
And he's saying it shouldn't be left up to the person leading the songs to get you to where the Spirit of God is.
It's unfair.
Because I want to make sure we talk about this when it comes to worship. The Spirit of God is everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's not like we can bring the Spirit of God anywhere.
That's
what it
right.
is we have to get you to where God is. We have to get you to meet God where he is. So we need to lift your spirit to the point where you can see God. So your worship to a point where you're like the writer says, where your spirit touches his. So I think it's so important that when it comes to worship, that we recognize that we can't control what happens. You get to church and the music ain't right. You get to church
mm-hmm.
and the singer you want to hear ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? If I've already been in worship,
mm-hmm.
that thing ain't going to affect me.
It's not.
But see, if I've been raised in hell all week,
that's right.
And now I'm depending on Pastor Parks to sing me through.
Yeah.
And I get there and Pastor Parks ain't there.
Yeah.
So now I can't even worship.
That's good.
Because I'm dependent on Pastor Parks.
Exactly.
But if I've been living a life of worship all week long.
Yeah.
And then I get to church and they tell me, well, Pastor Park ain't here today, but so-and-so is. Well, come on, Lord, use her.
Your worship is nothing but an obedience act.
Come on, come on.
And the problem, and we got to ask ourselves, during a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
do we give God more than we give the world?
Wow. Wow.
Do you give God more than you give the world? And,
wow.
And let me tell you this. I know we are consumed with matters in our life, but you got to give God his time. Whatever you need to do in your daily routine, God must be included in there.
Wow.
He has to be. I'm talking about from your rising to thank you to your going down to thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of what was in between, your good morning to God is thank you,
mm-hmm.
and your good night to God is thank you. Regardless of how it turned out, regardless of how tragic it was happening or of the many blessings, you got to let God know on a regular that you appreciate him just for your life.
That's awesome. That's good. So we got these, man. We got this is good. Four ways to really prepare for worship. Pastor Paz, go ahead and get number one.
Internal preparation of heart.
Yeah.
Each worshiper carries the responsibility for personal preparation of his and her heart. Watch this. If God calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth, one of my favorite scriptures, John 4:24, then we must constantly ask questions about the state of our spirit and the readiness of our hearts.
Yeah.
Understand this, people of God. You cannot control certain matters in your life. Got to allow God to intervene. You got sometimes your heart, your body is telling you one thing, but your mind is on the other side of the town. Sometimes you want to get yourself involved in too, but you may have a heaviness on your heart. Last night I had a heaviness on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday was the second year anniversary of my cousin's death, which passed
mm-hmm.
away
mm-hmm.
in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these past couple of days, I've been having a heaviness that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that people couldn't help me get out of this funk.
Mm-hmm.
It took me to pray to God.
and ask God to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's not going to take the hurt right away,
mm-hmm.
God, give me strength. Give
mm-hmm.
me glory
mm-hmm.
that I can maintain,
yeah.
That I can deal with this matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so in worship, the scripture said, John 4:24, they that worship him
mm-hmm.
must worship him mm-hmm. in spirit
and in truth.
And in truth.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, we don't know our hearts.
Yeah.
We really don't know our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Only God know our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask yourself, what are you doing to condition your heart
yeah.
for worship?
That's good. Regina Houston Hall says this. She says, I think that sometimes we confuse praise with worship. She says,
that's
we
true.
Praise him for all that he does for us, but we worship him for who he is.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's adoration.
That's good. That's
yeah.
really
the Lord is high above the heavens. reach over, tell your neighbor, be careful now, be careful now, be careful. Tell him, when I think about his goodness and all he's done for me, I got a hallelujah. It's the highest praise. My, 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 my.
Think I'm playing with their feelings because they have told me things. No, I go before God in boldness.
Right. We apologize for those of you on the Blog Talk Radio side. We had some technical difficulties. We're back live with you guys now. Sorry, but we do apologize.
Yeah.
Couldn't be helped. Don't know what happened, but we are back live with you. This is good, man. This is good. So number two was pre-arrival preparation. That's good. That's good. Let's go ahead, man. Do number three. Go ahead.
Pre-service preparation. Watch this. That short time period of time between our arrival at church and the beginning of the worship service is also critical. How we interact with others remind us that we are here as part of a body. Intentionally quieting our spirits before the service begins will also enable us to set distractions aside. Again, focus on corporate attention on God. One of the things I love, I used to love at Greater St. John,
mm-hmm.
is and you know, once the Lord blessed me with certain elements, we'll be able to go back to it.
Right.
Before service time, we mm-hmm. met together
mm-hmm.
and we prayed together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know some of the ladies, if they put on a hat or something, mm-hmm. they had to walk in, fix up, but. My thing was get away from the public.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into our room and let's electrify this room.
Mm-hmm.
Let prayer
yeah.
consecrate in our hearts and
yeah.
our spirits.
Absolutely.
That when we stand before the people,
yeah.
it's not show. This
yeah.
is a sincere worship. I love genuine, sincere worship. I went probably a couple of months ago in 2016. I went and a young lady, Ursula, they did a worship thing. And, man, it was sincere. Pure worship. Sometimes sincere pure worship, you can't practice for that. You can't rehearse for that.
Right.
That comes strictly from the heart.
Absolutely.
And so when people come into the house of God, especially leaders,
yeah.
Sometimes you can't even hold conversation with others because you never know what their conversation is going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
You got to really tell them, can they wait until after service? Because you're feeding more people then what's going to be fed unto you. And you know, you don't know how certain things, certain words people use or say. And the enemy knows. He knows your preparation. And his job is to get you before you get on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows once you're up on that stage, the Lord would not allow him to intervene. He wouldn't allow him to try to distract you. And so worship leaders, preachers, mm-hmm. pastors,
mm-hmm.
is very pivotal that we get to the point that let nothing distract you from doing what God called you to do.
Yeah.
That is God, and let me show this. When you're up, that's God's time to shine.
Yeah.
Through you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love this, man. This that when he talks about that short period of time between our arrival at church and the beginning of the worship service. So that time in between, man, you know, if you are preaching, you're in your office, you just need some time alone.
Yeah.
And I think as members, that's when you don't bring mess to your pastor.
Exactly.
You don't. I don't care what's going on. It can wait.
Exactly.
Unless the building is on fire, and if the building is on fire, trust me, he probably already know. So unless something is major, don't bring that to your pastor.
Exactly.
Don't bring it to your worship lead. Matter of fact, don't bring it to the choir
exactly.
members. Because you don't want them to be distracted. Anybody who has to go before God's people, watch this. When you go before God's people and present something, whether it be in speech, in preaching, or in singing, you are a representative of God.
Uh-huh.
I don't need to be distracted with whatever you got going on before I'm to produce something for God's people.
That's good.
So we got to be mindful not to bum rush our leaders. I know you need to talk to your pastor, but can it wait? And watch this. You actually shouldn't bother him on Sunday.
That's it. That's true.
Find out
what
his hours are.
That's true.
Don't bother the worship leader on Sunday. And this works both ways. Pastor, if you got an issue with something your worship leader is doing, you should have had addressed that before Sunday morning.
And can I say this?
Come on.
This is critical. This is what I'm about to say is critical. If service start at 11 o'clock, you can't get there at 10:50 or 10:55. You got to give yourself ample amount. Now, I had a 15-minute, if service started at 10, if they wasn't there no later than 9:45, then you couldn't get up. Because there might be a shift. There might be something from the man of God that want us to do. And then also, you got to get yourself prepared spiritually, mentally, emotionally to go forward.
Yeah.
And you can't just jump out of your car, just run into the building, and then jump on stage. No, that's foolishness. You got to give yourself enough time to collect your thoughts, to even meditate on the songs that's going forth.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you got to have enough time to have intercessory prayer, because that might be somebody on your team. You had rehearsal Wednesday, but somebody on your team caught hell Thursday and Friday. You got to be able to discern that there's a matter taking place.
Yep.
And truth of the matter, that's when the spirit of boldness needs to come in and say, listen, I know you're going through.
Yeah.
I'm ready for you to sit down today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
let us minister to you.
Or you know they're going through, and in that consecration.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're going to pray for you right now.
There you go.
We're going to bind
that demon right now. We're going to bind that depression. We're going to bind whatever it is right now. That's how you move forward. And watch this. Now you're becoming more of a team.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. Let me get this. Number four. Did you read the paragraph underneath?
No, I did. And since worship does not start when we enter the worship service, it should not stop when we leave.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So with that understanding, I would recommend a fourth suggestion to add to the previous three.
Okay. So here we go. Number four says this. Post-service continuation. It says, worship should continue as we leave the service. It can happen in our homes, at our schools, through our work. It can't be contained in a single location, culture, style, artistic expression, or vehicle of communication. So it doesn't matter how good our worship is when we gather. It is incomplete until it continues when we scatter. Post-service worship then leads us into a continuous circle back to step one. Wow.
Ooh. All right, now I'm going to say this. Now, everybody, Sundays, I try to nap.
Okay.
If I have an evening service, at the service, I might talk to the members, but I go in my office and just diffuse.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I had to go straight home, I try to nap or find something to relax me because I know I'm still number one open.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still open.
Yeah.
And so that's a possibility now that I'm open and I don't have no one to cover me.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy could have his way.
That's right. That's right.
Let me say that again.
That's right.
After you get through pouring out, you are exhausted.
That's right.
The virtue have left you.
Yeah.
Whether you're preaching, singing or ministering.
Yep.
The virtue has left you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have not been covered,
that's right.
The enemy can creep in and have his way with you, and you don't even recognize that he's in you.
Yeah.
And so it's imperative that you go to a place of rest.
Yeah.
Go to a place of diffusing.
That's right.
Asking God to fill you back up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have poured out so much that a lot of times we don't do post-service evaluation in our spiritual bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't we give whatever the Lord have us to give. Then we start making plans to go eat dinner
or we start making players go watch their game. And then also, let me share this. Don't you try to rush service as a layman so you can get to your next appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you take a breath, that you can rusah, that you can release, relate, and relax and get the things that God has gotten, want you to get. Because even though, watch this, you are the leader, you're still ministering to your spiritual body yourself first. Mm-hmm. Before you minister to anyone else, it starts with you.
Yeah.
And if it's not starting with you,
yeah.
The saying, what comes from the heart, it won't reach the heart. People know when the heaviness is on you. People know when you're really having a bad day or you're going through.
That's true.
Because here, you're not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
A true worship leader is consistent no matter what they're going through. I hear a lot of people say, well, and the only way that a preacher can overcome a lot of things, he got to preach his way out.
Mm.
Well, that's a myth, because you can't preach your way out, but keep preaching and being consistent and knowing that God put you in there for a purpose. Don't slack up in your studying time. Don't slack up in your prayer time. Don't slack up in your delivery, because there's not too many people there like you are prepared. I made the mistake and done that. And I said it openly to the church that in my preparation, I wasn't giving them what the Lord wanted me to give them because I felt like they wasn't ready to receive it. I just did a lesson on leadership Wednesday, and it seemed like people was Greek. It was Greek. Like, ooh, what was that? However, you know, thank God it was Facebook Live, and I was getting responses from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
However, we as a people of God need to have some stick-to-itness.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Stick-to-itness. We here for a reason. And I like at the end, he said, worship begins in our hearts, not on our lips.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what comes out of the heart exit the lips.
Yeah.
And always remember, open your mouth, allow rivers of water to flow through.
Mm-hmm.
That Psalms 81:10, I love it. The psalmist said, open up your mouth and allow the Lord to speak through you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, we missing the mark. Don't cause a spiritual suicide death in your life.
Mm.
Take time out, number one, to thank God that he used you as a vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Take time out to reflect back on the things that he allowed you to speak out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then take time out to ask God to fill you back up because you're depleted. When you're standing before, it's been statistically proven that one sermon equal up to 40 hours of a week's work.
Mm-hmm.
One sermon.
Yeah.
Is equivalent.
Yeah.
To a whole 40 hours of week's work.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And believe it or not, if you do this over and over, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it, especially if you're the one that go hard. I go hard. I go hard, whether I'm teaching or preaching, I go hard. I try to take it easy, but, you know, I go hard because I'd be more excited that God called me. It still haven't got old.
That's good.
Out of 20 years.
Absolutely. Let me read some of these comments. Tamika Evans says, when all God cares is that you remain humble, your salvation and giving him the glory.
That's true.
She says, how when all God cares about is that you remain humble and your salvation and give him the glory. Let me see if I missed the earlier comment from her. No, I did not. Okay. Then she says, Felicia says, I had a matter with a lady about working on Sundays. I told her it was no sin. She had to work on Sunday. You can worship everywhere. Absolutely.
That's true.
We need to come to an understanding that the whole thing about praise and worship, it is a lifestyle. It is not a Sunday morning 20-minute session before the congregation. It is a lifestyle. If you don't praise God during the week, it's going to be quite difficult to do it on Sunday. If you don't give God, if you're not giving God some glory, I mean, I know stuff happens during the week and you don't always listen to this, but I make it a point to infuse myself daily with the Word of God in my morning readings, in my devotional plans that I read all the time, in my music that I listen to. I make it a point. Yes, I listen to sports radio all day in my car. Uh-huh. But if they're talking about something crazy, I switch right back to that, what is it now, the Kirk Franklin Gospel, whatever that station is on Sirius Radio.
Oh, Sirius.
That's where I live.
Is it 64?
Yeah, 64. So that's where I live. I constantly have to have this because you need that reminder. Like you said, when you're in the car, that's some of the best worship you can have.
Yeah.
Because it's nobody but you and God.
Yeah.
Because now you can speak out loud and not be concerned about who hears you.
Yeah.
Now you can say, look, Lord, I got this thing going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lord, you know what this thing is. And it's just me and you right now, Lord. You know, it's like that old song from back in the day. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Yeah. Come on. That's good. Pastor Parks, pray us out, Doc.
Father in heaven, we thank you, God. This has been a blessed week, God. God, we have experienced your glory in numerous ways, God. God, we pray for churches, ministers, pastors, even pray for Pastor Scott, God.
Yes.
We pray that you cover his mind, his tongue, God. God, we pray for anyone that may feel that we have caused a backlash against them, God. We're not here to fight, but God, we're here to stand for what's right, God. And so, Father, we pray in your glory. If we said something that was against your will, God, we ask for forgiveness, God.
Amen.
But God, we still stand on agreement that there's change needs to be done in the name of Jesus, God. God, we pray for our individual ministries, God.
Yes,
we
God.
Pray for our churches, God.
Yes, God.
God, we have deposited so much this week. We pray that you fill us back in the name of Jesus,
yes.
God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been a wonderful week, man. It's been awesome. On Monday, we have Apostle David Rogers joining the show. That's going to be hot. This brother is rough. He is rough when it comes to what we do out here in this, man. He is hardcore. So it's going to be good. I'm excited to have him be a part of the show. He's going to be sitting in with us on Monday. And then I just got word, we got the best producer on the planet. Tanya reached out to Pastor Daryl Scott while we were on the show. And we should be hearing something back. I got an email back saying they will be contacting her within the next 24 to 48 hours. So look here. That's what we do, man. That's what we do. So I'm excited about that. That's awesome. And then upcoming, we got someone. I forgot. Let me get this other confirmation she sent me on yesterday. Where is it at? Let's see. We got some good stuff coming. Hold on, y'all. Let me get it. It was somebody on the 20. No, I'm getting these days mixed up. Where is it at? Yeah, I don't see it. I have to look at it again. Maybe it's on a different messaging thing. But, man, we had good guests coming up. And, look, it is still Black History Month. We have not forgotten about that. We're going to bring you some information next week on Black History Month. So, look, what you got going on this weekend, Doc?
Man, I got to tonight, I got to go preach at True Rock of Love, 7620.
Okay.
South Ashland.
Okay.
Tomorrow I have a family gathering tomorrow night.
Where you watching the game at?
Man, I don't know.
I saw you put some
yeah, I think a lot of members of Greater St. John invite me there.
Okay, that's
might
good.
Go there.
That's
I don't
good. That's good.
Honestly, I want to go somewhere and have fun. Neither one of my teams in. So, well, neither one. I only have one team. But,
right.
I really want to see a good game.
Is that the bad?
No, I'm Denver Broncos, man.
I'm rooting for the Falcons to win. I'm sick of Tom Brady. And as an old school Falcons fan back when prime time was playing, I still got my Falcons jersey. Yes, I do. So I'm rooting for them Dirty Birds.
Yeah, I want a good game.
I
want to see
because I went to sleep last year on Denver and Carolina after they sacked Cam about the fourth time. I think I was in a food coma.
I was sitting back. Relaxing and my boy went out of style, Peyton.
Okay, oh, that's true. I was rooting for Cam.
Cam.
Oh, so anyway,
I'm excited for I want to see Ken Patriots defense stop that offense of Atlanta.
That's gonna be good. Excited about it, man. I'm excited about it, man. So I know I'm going to I got a couple of invites to go to some parties, but I'm gonna make my way to at least one somewhere. And
whoever got some good hot wings,
here we go.
If you got some good hot wings, holler at your boy. That's all I'm asking for. Give me some good hot wings.
Some good hot wings.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Look, y'all, we got to go, man. Man, look here.
Y'all keep waiting. Look, if y'all ain't been praying, y'all been praying for the bowling team, and I tell y'all, y'all prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
Because we've been hot the last
They've
2 weeks.
They've been hot.
And I just want to keep it going, y'all, because we're moving up in the rankings finally.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, we got about 12 weeks left in the bowling season, and we got to make that final last playoff spot.
Wow.
So we got some time to move up so your boy can get in there and do a little something, because, man, we've been hot. So I'm looking forward to it, and we good. So, you know, big shout-out to the Just Do It squad.
Do it!
Pat Lewis, Tyrone Lewis, Big Slim, Johnny Malone.
Yes, sir.
And what's our new teammate name? Dark Chocolate. Shannon Carvin. I couldn't think of her name, but that's her bowling name, Dark Chocolate. Everybody got a name. Yeah.
What's yours?
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's automatic. Everybody know that. That's
Dark Knight.
That's automatic. I like when they call my name at the end. Dark Knight, come get your payout. Say what? Well, I won what? And like, be like, Brown, you call my name? Oh, God. Look, y'all, it's been great, man. Y'all stay good. It's supposed to be get a little snow tomorrow, but it's supposed to be gone. And then the hot weather supposed to come back next week. We'll be about 45 or 50 or something. So here we go. I don't know what's going on, but thank you, Lloyd, for the weather. Look, y'all got to be in this city.
A heat front.
Keep.
Hey, I had to do it, y'all. I had to do it. Y'all missed that show.
Y'all stay blessed, man. Keep your head on the swivel. We will talk to y'all on Monday. TTLO. I'm going to leave y'all with this.
Be very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.